This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, is Greece poised to leave the Eurozone? Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. Now that the Greeks have rejected the EU bailout deal, what is the likelihood of Grexit? What are the political and economic consequences for Greece, for the European Union? And how is Russia, or for that matter, how are other nationalist parties on the left and right in France and Britain exploiting these circumstances to the detriment of European unity? And for the United States, Greece is a valued NATO ally. And despite the economic and migrant crisis, a land of relative stability between the faltering Balkans, North Africa, and the Middle East, its strategic importance through the Mediterranean has increased following the chaotic fallout from the Arab uprisings and the falling out of two U.S. allies, Turkey and Israel. Although that relationship is slowly on the mend, the United States has an interest in Europe's drive for greater energy security and diversification of supply away from Russia. Greece aspires to an important role in Europe's energy security through its own offshore exploration for oil and gas and potential future production, and through new interconnectors to the Balkans and up and into Central Europe. Greece last week formally submitted a request for new aid. According to the Eurozone's bailout fund, Greece defaulted on its $1.8 billion loan payment to the IMF last week. Greece says it has suffered enough with spending cuts, tax hikes, and other tough conditions that the EU has imposed in exchange for a bailout. Other observers say Greece is equally responsible for its predicament. One analyst said it wanted modernity without efficiency or transparency and wealth without work. It wanted control over its own destiny, while someone else picked up the check. Well, there is much blame to go around, but one thing is certain. Whether European leaders accept the Greek government's application for more emergency loans still depends on Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras's making a dramatic turnaround on pension cuts, tax increases, and other austerity measures after months of acrimonious negotiations. Well, for more on the geopolitical implications of the Greek crisis, we turn to two regional analysts. Daniel Serwer is a professor of conflict management at Johns Hopkins University and a senior fellow at the Center for Transatlantic Relations. And Hella Dale, she's a senior fellow for public diplomacy at the Heritage Foundation, a policy group based here in Washington. And both panelists join me here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Welcome to you both. Well, Hella Dale, let me begin with you. Were you surprised at the referendum results, the no vote? And do you think that Prime Minister Tsipras really thinks that a no vote will give him greater leverage with the European Union?
I don't think it was that surprising. Greece has been in very dire economic straits for a long time. In part, I think, because it was accepted into the euro under false pretenses. Its economy was not developed enough to cope with the demands made by the European Union. And as a consequence of that, and a consequence of many, many decades of financial and economic mismanagement by Greek governments, the country now finds itself in a really very tragic and unfortunate place. Many, many people are suffering, and the vote really reflected that overwhelmingly. I think the Prime Minister sold the no vote on the idea that it would give him more leverage, but I don't necessarily think that it does. I think many people in the EU, particularly in Germany, fed up with footing the bill for Greece.
Turning to you, Daniel Serwer, for your reaction to the Greek vote, whether or not this gives Tsipras more leverage or less, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Hella. I don't think it gives much more leverage. I think the important question now is German attitudes. And the Germans, I think, will make a decision about whether Greece stays or goes, based not on Greece only, but on the impact on the rest of the European Union. If they think that contagion is more likely because Greece leaves, they may not insist that Greece leaves. But if they think that contagion is more likely if Greece stays, then I think they'll have Greece leave. It's really not about Greece anymore. It's about the euro. It's about the European Union as a whole. It's about the generation of extreme right-wing nationalist political movements in a number of countries in Europe. And this is a moment in which Chancellor Merkel has a tremendous opportunity to be a stateswoman, but I don't know in which direction that means. I frankly think it's up to her, and I don't know better than she does.
Well, Daniel Serwer, you really hit the nail on the head. That is the topic of this program. It's really more about the implications of the situation in Greece now for European unity. So back to you, Hella Dale. How much of this is a test, indeed, for Chancellor Angela Merkel? We know that together, France and Germany represent almost half of the economy of the 19-nation Eurozone. What's at stake for Europe? And from your finger on the pulse of what's going on in Germany, which way do you think attitudes will go? We know that Angela Merkel is, on the one hand, tough. She believes in austerity. On the other hand, I think she also is cognizant of the danger of going too far, putting too much more pressure. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's sort of similar to a problem that a family has. If you have one member of your family who is struggling, and at some point you might say, well, how long do we continue to carry this individual with us? How much is this going to cost the family as a whole to make sure that every single one of us succeeds 100%? Or you say, well, at some point you're going to say, let this individual find his or her own way to the level of their abilities and control the damage to some extent. And I think in the case of Greece, hinging everything of the European project on Greece and the success of Greece or failure is a very big mistake. And that is exactly where your question was pointing. If Greece fails, does that mean that all of Europe fails? I think that's really a dangerous trap to walk into, because Greece is in such economic shape that you have to think more creatively than that. Unfortunately, the Eurozone itself was constructed without an exit clause. If you look at the throughout the treaty, there is no way that a country can honorably, legitimately say, this doesn't work for us anymore. We need a different economic model or a different monetary model. If there was one that could give Greece some debt relief, an ability to go back to its own currency and still be a part of Europe, I think a little bit of flexibility would help everybody in this situation. But Europe as a project is constructed with such rigidity that there's only one way forward. There is no flexibility in which way you could go to solve problems just such as this one.
Do you think that's right, Daniel Serwer, that there isn't much flexibility? And what about Hella's suggestion that, you know, at some point, Greece, like a member of a family who is constantly in debt, must find his or own way? Aren't there also dangerous ramifications for that as well? Because you have, as we intimated in the introduction, Russia looking to court Greece, seduce it into its sphere, and it is, of course, causing lots of problems in Ukraine, having already annexed Crimea. What do you think about the options and the ability for Europe to be flexible?
Well, there is no exit clause in the Euro treaty, but in practice, if the Europeans want to create an exit, they can do that. Greece is still a sovereign state. It can issue its own currency. And if I had to guess what will happen after Sunday, it's that that will happen. I think the Germans are not going to want to continue to fund Greece, and they're not going to want to set a precedent for debt restructuring that is based on the Greek example, not because they don't expect the money that they've loaned to Greece to come back. It's never coming back, and they know that. What they're concerned about is not spreading that disease to Italy, to Spain, to Portugal, which are much bigger countries with much bigger external debts. The exit of one of those might cause the complete collapse of the euro. When it comes to the Russians, I understand quite clear that they've been trying to exploit this situation and that there are lots of Greeks who might be amenable to that. There is an Orthodox connection that Putin has been able to exploit in other cases. He'll try to exploit it in this case as well. But I don't think we should see the Russians as some kind of financial giant today. The fact is that at current oil prices, they're in very big trouble. And frankly, the Russians expect money to be paid back. They're stricter about that maybe than the Germans are. So I don't really see that as a very viable option for Greece. But if Greece takes it, it's not going to be an easy road to go down. So far as the impact on the NATO alliance, on the European Union is concerned, I mean, there's a lot of room within the alliance and within the EU for countries that want to maintain good relations with Russia. Germany itself maintains decent relations with Russia. So these institutions aren't so doctrinaire and so close-minded that they can't accommodate a big loan from Russia to Greece. I mean, I think a lot of people in the EU and in NATO would celebrate that rather than bemoan it, because it would mean lightening their own burden.
Okay. And let's be clear, we're talking about a potential exit from the Eurozone. Greece would still remain a member of the European Union, because there are members of the European Union who have their own currency, like Britain, Sweden, Denmark.
I don't believe there's anybody who envisages an exit of Greece from the European Union or from NATO. I just don't think that's even remotely in the cards.
So we're just talking about a potential exit from the Eurozone. Short break, back in a moment.
Hashtag VOA. It's a weekly show, Tuesdays at 1730 UTC, where we bring you the top topics of the week. But the show lives on social media every day with your daily video shorts, What's Trending Wednesday, and the Friday Fast Five. Subscribe to the show at YouTube. You can find us at hashtag VOA. You can reach me at Twitter, at Perry Cal, or talk to the show anytime. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. We love to be seen. And you can reach us anytime.
Back to Encounter. My guests are Daniel Serwer. He's professor of conflict management at Johns Hopkins University and senior fellow at their Center for Transatlantic Relations, and Hella Dale, senior fellow for public diplomacy at the Heritage Foundation. Well, back to you, Hella Dale, to talk about other implications of the situation in Greece, whether or not it exits the Eurozone. What about the nationalist parties on both the left and the right in France and Britain that are cheering on Syriza, the party of Prime Minister Tsipras? Particularly, what about the implications for the UK, which will be holding its own referendum on whether or not it remains in the European Union?
Yeah, good point. I think the UK might, you know, be a case that might sooner leave the EU than Greece. I mean, I'm not sure it'll happen. It may well not happen, but there will be a referendum. And there are many Brits who never have and never will feel a real part of Europe, because they are an island nation and have been for centuries, and I think always will feel that way. And also, closer relationship with the United States, their transatlantic ties are the strongest in Europe. So they feel and always have felt a bit in the middle between Europe and North America. Yes, it will have some ripple effects if Greece does leave the Euro. There's no doubt about that. And particularly the parties on the left are cheering because their sentiments are similar. I mean, we're talking about socialist parties who are very much in tune with the political program of Greek government. More government spending, keeping the pensions and the social networks and all that. I mean, they're not austerity minded. And there has been austerity imposed in various European countries to get their economies going again, including Britain. So that, yeah, right, it's all being followed very closely.
Turning to you, Daniel Serwer, for your take on how this might affect Britain, Britain's decision with respect to the EU. And of course, Hella talked about the parties on the left, but as many parties on the right, Marie Le Pen in France, they are making common cause with Syriza as well. They have no love lost for the European Union or the EU in Brussels, the bureaucracy.
I think if Greece leaves the Euro, it will be catastrophic for Greeks. They are going to suffer a massive devaluation of their currency. I don't think they're going to be able to relieve the austerity much. In fact, there won't be much money around at all. The austerity that matters to Greece and to many other European countries is German austerity, not Greek austerity. Greece can't stimulate its own economy on its own. It's what's happening in the broader European Middle Eastern context that matters to Greece. If Greece leaves, I think it will be a negative example to many others about the impact of leaving the Euro, and it won't look pretty at all. The question is different for the UK, because there the question is the UK leaving the European Union. It's never been in the euro. My view of this is that that would not be good for the United States, that Britain's presence within the European Union is extraordinarily helpful to the United States. It's true, we have a very close relationship. We see the world most of the time through similar eyes. And their weight within the European Union brings the European Union closer to the United States. So I'm not a fan of the UK leaving. I don't think it would be good for the British economy either, but I'm mainly concerned that it wouldn't be good for the United States.
You're listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. My guests are Daniel Serwer, from whom you just heard. He's professor of conflict management at Johns Hopkins University and senior fellow at their Center for Transatlantic Relations here in Washington. And Hella Dale, she's a senior fellow for public diplomacy at the Heritage Foundation, a policy group based here in Washington. We're discussing the challenges to European unity in the aftermath of the Greek no vote. This is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow me on Twitter at Carol Castiel VOA or connect with us on Facebook via Carol Castiel VOA or send an email to encounter@voanews.com. Here's a shout out to a new Facebook fan, Taufik Jalte from Meknes, Morocco. Well, back to you, Hella Dale. And we've been looking ahead, looking at the implications of a potential Grexit, as we call it. But what about, let's go back a bit and look at, you know, what led to this situation. Do you think the EU might have been too harsh on Greece, as some analysts have suggested? Paul Krugman is one. Too much austerity, the Troika, whether the central bank, IMF, they helped create the scenario that we're witnessing today. And even perhaps precipitated the win for the far-left Syriza party in January, which, of course, has repudiated the austerity measures.
Well, I think, I mean, you have to place the blame where it initially belongs, and that is with the failure of Greek governments to run the economy in a way that is in any way or shape or form self-sustaining. The Greek social welfare system, if you want to call it that, has been far more expensive than the country's economy could possibly sustain. And that is a problem. That is where you have those huge IMF loans, why you need the bailout by the EU to even pay the, get close to paying the payments. The Greek debt to GDP ratio is, you know, unlike any other in the EU. It's something like 178%, I think, of debt to GDP. So Greece has been on an unsustainable path for a long time. Now, the EU has asked, and it does through the conditions imposed through the euro mechanisms, that your economy has to fall into certain lines and certain, it is not a free-flowing situation. There are certain conditions that have to be fulfilled. There is has been little flexibility and little sympathy, I'm afraid, and that has helped cause the situation. In France, there's a little more sympathy than there is in Germany, but still people look at this as being Greece's own fault and how far should others pay for it. It's an unfortunate standoff.
A quick follow-up before I turn back to Daniel Serwer for his take. Wasn't it incumbent on the EU and the central bank, the IMF, if in fact Greece was falling short of its obligations, to be monitoring more forcefully? Aren't they partly responsible for perhaps not enforcing the austerity measures, or saying, well, what's going on with your pension fund? What about the tax receipts? You know, you're not keeping up.
This situation that we're currently looking at goes back about 5 or 6 years. And I think there have been some consistent attempts at making the Greek governments perform better than they have. But in many ways, Greece, unfortunately, still has a somewhat third world economy. It is not a European economy in the way that the Dutch economy is. It has a long way to go to develop to that point. Who do you blame for that? And unfortunately, I think it still has to come back to the Greek governments.
Where do you lay the blame, Daniel Serwer? More on Greece's part for not making what some say are critical structural reforms to its economy? And or was the EU not monitoring the situation forcefully enough?
Is certainly responsibility on the part of the Greek government. My understanding is that they, in fact, were on a sustainable path a few years ago. The IMF has reported that they could have sustained the debt after the initial austerity measures, but that with the election of Syriza, this fell apart, and Syriza simply wasn't willing to do all that needed to be done to sustain that relatively good track. But, you know, there is a kind of fundamental flaw in the euro, and that fundamental flaw is the lack of fiscal control. In the United States, we don't have states falling out of the dollar. We do have Puerto Rico having very serious problems, but we don't have states falling out of the dollar, partly because there are real limits on what the states can borrow. And there were, with sovereign states inside the European Union, there weren't any real limits, and the Greeks lied about their economic statistics, and some fools put down some money. And that's where this enormous debt was accumulated. But there is a fundamental issue in the design of the euro mechanisms. It doesn't provide enough surveillance over the fiscal balances in the member states.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time.
With David Bandy.
Before we close, Hella Dale, let's quickly talk about Iran and the deal. We missed the deadline. But the fundamental question is, we're looking at an Iran on the rise in the region, whether through its activities backing Bashar al-Assad in Lebanon, in Yemen, in Iraq. In many ways, U.S. and Iran are on the same side trying to combat ISIL, the so-called Islamic State. But certainly there are more points of difference than convergence. And the question, of course, is, what is the alternative to a deal? Because Iran is still a player in the region, and the important thing is to contain its nuclear program.
Well, I think the alternative to a deal is the status quo. I think a deal, as it is currently shaping up, is a mistake. So to me, if the talks fail, is not the end of the world. Iran right now is poised to start exporting oil. It is one of the world's greatest oil producers. I think it has the fourth largest reserves. It is ready to turn on the spigots the moment that we lift sanctions on Iran as part of a deal. And you can be assured that the moment that happens and Iran finds cash flowing back into its coffers at the rate it will, that Iran's influence in the Middle East will accelerate even more than it has. And the deal itself pushes into the future by about 10 or 15 years Iran's ability to ramp up its nuclear program. Yet inspections, of course, which we're struggling over, may not even assure that. So it is a short time frame in Middle Eastern context, and I am concerned about the idea of a deal rather than no deal.
And the last word to you, Daniel Sower. Are you more concerned about a deal or no deal?
I'm more concerned about a no deal. A no deal means no inspections, no multilateral sanctions, no constraints on the Iranian nuclear program. There is no status quo. Why would the Iranians hold to the status quo if there's no deal? We know what happens when there are no inspections, when there are no multilateral sanctions, when there are no limits on what they do, because we saw it happen in the 2000s, and it meant an enormous growth in their nuclear program that put them within striking distance of developing nuclear weapons. So to me, no deal is really very, very bad. That doesn't mean that any deal is good. It's got to be a very good deal that really does postpone for 10 or 15 years any possibility of an Iranian nuclear weapon. That to me is a decent outcome, and one that I would support if it's really airtight.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this edition of Encounter, where we'll be following the situation in Greece and Iran in the days and weeks ahead. Once again, I'd like to thank my guest, Daniel Sower. He's professor of conflict management at Johns Hopkins University and senior fellow at their Center for Transatlantic Relations, and Hella Dale, senior fellow for public diplomacy at the Heritage Foundation. Encounter was produced in Washington. Our engineer was Keith Holmes. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on The Voice of America. We'll be right back.